Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, the temperature's down. I mean, my gosh, it's like 70-something degrees.
Goodness.
I mean, fall might be on the way.
I know, and you've been dreading that for a long time, thinking you were going to get stuck in the heat of the summer, and now all of a sudden, before you know it, I mean, it's Labor Day weekend, you've got some cooler temperatures. Before you know it, you'll have that fall crispness in the air in the morning, and maybe a little bit of morning fog to go with it. Ooh, wonderful time of year.
Well, you know, that now that I have this new puppy, you know, I'm getting up at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh my.
And I can tell you what it's like every morning outside. It's very dark and it's nice and cool at 5:30 in the morning.
Wow.
You know? Oh my gosh.
You haven't seen 5:30 a.m. in years, have you?
In 20 years, I'll bet. So now I'm getting up early, seeing things I've never seen before. The llamas aren't even up at 5:30.
Oh, my gosh. They're still asleep.
They're still asleep. This puppy and I are the only ones in America awake at 5:30.
Wow. So you have like a toddler on your hands now.
I have a toddler on my hands that is not housebroke.
Oh, uh-oh.
So you've got to rush out there early in the morning to go to the bathroom. And to smell the grass.
Oh yes, you have to smell the grass in the morning because there's been, you know, varmints and critters that run around all night and they've left
That's
a fresh
exactly
scent.
Right.
Yeah.
And last night I took her out just before bedtime, and one of the llamas came up and scared her to death.
Oh,
she
no.
ran for the house. She thought that llama looked pretty doggone big. So she was running for her life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I thought that was really cute.
She didn't even
bark. Oh. She turned around and thought about it, and she just fled for the house.
She took off.
She took off. She said, now is not the time to be brave.
Oh, wow. So was that the first time she'd ever seen the llamas?
Well, up close and personal, yes. And I think it was just too much.
Wow.
And the llama just wanted to see what she looked like, you know?
Yeah, sure. They're very curious, docile, friendly creatures.
They are. And I said, well, what is this? You know, a little piece of fluff.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure probably as she gets a little bit older, she might get a little bit braver and realize, hey, she's got a whole bunch of friends. What do you have? Like, what, 17 now? 15, 17?
17.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
And as little as she is, we sure don't want her to go down there.
No. No.
She doesn't weigh but 7 pounds.
Oh, wow. That is tiny.
I mean, she's tiny. Yes, very tiny.
How big is she going to be? Do they know?
I think 20 or something pounds.
Oh, so she's got a long way to go still.
She's got a long way to go.
Wow. Well, then maybe she'll have 17 new friends as she gets a little bit older.
But, you know, I've observed that she's very, very smart. She already can sit on command.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And she shook hands this morning.
Really?
I mean, yeah. This little girl is pretty smart.
Wow. Sounds like she's smarter than half my friends.
Yeah, and probably smarter than me, really.
before you know it, she'll be in the kitchen cooking breakfast at 5:30.
Let me tell you something. She'd be glad to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, she is curious about everything in life.
What is she, a couple months still?
Yes, a couple of months old. And she goes along the cabinets checking everything. She smells the trail everywhere she goes. Yeah, she's checking everything out.
Wow. Is she chewing on stuff still because of her teeth?
Everything, yes.
Ooh.
I bought the bitter apple for her. I've done everything, trying to, you know, get her to leave plants alone and different things. And I don't know how that'll work out.
Oh, wow. You have your hands full, that's for sure.
I do. I mean, I'm learning again. I'd forgotten how that works.
Yeah, clearly. And it's strange, though, that all of a sudden you're the one that has to get up at 5:30 with her. Nobody else.
Isn't that interesting? Nobody else has offered to do that. Everybody ignores it, you know.
Wow. Oh, my. Well, it sounds like, though, for all the interesting things that are going on, it sounds like she's wonderful and she's friendly and
she
nice.
She is wonderful. She's one of the most beautiful puppies I've ever seen.
Wow.
She's black and white, and she is gorgeous.
How sweet. She is.
And she's as fluffy awesome. As she can be. And she's hypoallergenic.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's a good thing. Yes. She doesn't shed.
Wow.
So, there's a lot of good points there.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's neat. That's fun. I mean, I know it's makes a long day when you get up at 5:30, but still.
It does. And we bought her a little harness. We don't know how to use it yet. That you put on them to put them in a car seat.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But we don't know how to do it yet.
Is it one of those that has, like, you put it over her body and then it has a hook, like, in the middle for, like, to hook them
there
to
the... There is a little hook, and it looks like a little... Well, in the front, it's got some material on it.
Mm, yeah.
You know, that you put over.
Yeah. Wow.
So I think you put this on her and then hook her to the seat, I think.
Yeah. I think usually there's another, like, leash-like thing that goes around the top, and then that hooks to the thing to keep her in place. Is she big enough for it? Because it sounds like she's
pretty
small. I
don't know if she's really big enough for that or not.
Wow.
She's pretty tiny.
Wow. How sweet. I bet that's just brought a whole new level of joy and fun and excitement to the house.
Oh, it has, because she runs the house. She'll just start running. And I mean, she is a high-energy puppy.
Well, that's exactly what you need.
One of these little cuddlers.
No. She's not going to snuggle up and take a nap.
No, she's not. That's not her deal.
Well, you sure needed some action, because there wasn't enough going on already.
That's right. We didn't have enough going on, right?
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
With the llamas, a cat, 3 grandkids, I mean, just not enough.
No. Throw in a teeny tiny couple-month-old puppy on top of it. That's nice.
That's right.
Wow. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby, but your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So how are things going this week? How are?
Well, we're bidding a lot of policies. We're not getting any of them, but we're sure bidding. Hopefully, by the end of next week, some of these will come to us. We've got about 4 million in bids out. We've bid every kind of policy in the world. I think 27, 30 months, 18 months, all different types of policies and different times. And then, we've got Mandelbaum that should be in the bank this week. And one of the other policies, it's already in the bank.
Oh, wow.
And Mandelbaum, as you know, is 4 million. Everybody's anxious to see that money in their accounts.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that should be in their accounts this week.
That's fantastic. That is really cool.
Remember, we are a licensed provider. Anybody that needs to sell their policy that does have cancer, they can contact us at the 800 number. We'll be glad to talk to them about their policy and about selling it and how much money they can get for it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about that a lot, but it is available to everybody in Texas. Anybody that has a policy they need to sell for cancer treatments, we'd be glad to talk to them about buying it.
Yeah, and you're still buying, like, specific policies, not just anybody that wants to sell it and travel. Those aren't the,
that's right. They've got to have cancer. It needs to be stage 4.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good then, because any time to, I guess, cut out the middleman makes it a better deal for everybody.
That does cut out the middleman. Therefore, the owner can get more money because we don't have the brokers in between us and them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! And those brokers, I tell you, they're in that in a spot where we've gone through this before, where they I don't know if they just start playing games, or they think that they can play hardball, or they can it's a contest, pitting one against the other or what. But it's like a lot of times those the brokers can try to do whatever they can to get more money for themselves, which is not cool.
That's
everybody
exactly
loses.
Right, and they sometimes forget that they represent the owner of the policy, and they want more for themselves than the broker's getting. I mean, You know, you've got two brokers sometimes rather than one. When it's just one broker, it's not as bad. But lots of times the owner will contact someone, and then that broker will go to a different broker instead of doing it themselves.
Wow.
If they do it themselves, it comes in a lot cheaper.
Wow. So when there's two, it just muddies up the whole situation.
It does, because they'll tell you, whatever your bid is, that doesn't include the $50,000 to $75,000
for me. Jeez. Oh, wow. And then if there's two, there's like twice.
Yeah.
When you get a policy to look at, do you...
We closed a policy earlier in the year, and we saw what the broker got, and it was $175,000.
No, seriously?
I mean, I was in shock. That's why the owner doesn't get as much, because their dadgum brokers charge so much.
Wow. Wow, $175,000. I'm shocked. I'm just, wow, that's a big number. It can't leave that much. I mean, that eats into the policy holder. I mean, you have to add that in on top of everything else. And so
that's
I would
exactly
imagine
right.
That's
so they're going to get less money because you've got all the fees to pay.
Wow. I would imagine that's an especially difficult situation. Do you see, like, if you get a policy that comes in, can you see somewhere in the paperwork if there's one broker or two ahead of time, or is it something you find
Lots
out?
Lots of times we don't know till the very last.
Oh.
Sometimes you just don't know.
So sometimes when they're playing hardball, it's because there could be two brokers involved.
That's right. Oh. And lots of times lately, we've lost some bids. You know, it just they just wanted more than we could pay. Because our clients first have to make money. If they're not making the right amount of money, they don't want it, and we don't either. So when these people, you know, rack it up really, really high, they're hurting themselves.
Wow. So it's just like with everything else, you know, anytime you get like, because we know we talk about Wall Street all the time and how brokers, you know, will do, they'll move your stuff around just to make themselves some commission. So they're out for themselves. I mean, I get that. People have to, you know, make a living and all that. But I mean,
right.
Golly, with this, it's kind of seems like the same situation. Not that it's exactly the same thing as Wall Street, but man, you put a broker in there and they, once they get, it's almost like they're looking out for themselves first. And not
they
that.
Are.
Ugh.
I guarantee they're putting themselves first. And, you know, this is big, big business. It's, you know, $1 trillion a year. And if they would just take a regular commission, we would have a lot more policies.
Yeah.
We would be able to buy more. It would turn more money, and everybody would make more. But lots of times they want to make it all on one policy. Mm-hmm. And it hurts the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah. It hurts you because it makes it harder to actually pay a fair price for a policy. And then it hurts the policy holder because at a time where they need to really sell their policy, this broker is playing games. And so, yeah, wow. Everybody does lose in that situation. That's too bad.
So it is. And so it makes it interesting. So when I say people in Texas can come to us direct, we'll buy their policy. There's no brokers involved. There's no middleman. And so they're going to get more than if they sell it in the market.
Jeez.
If they go to some of the big guys, they're not going to get near as much as we will.
Wow. I'm just shocked.
Because
I guess
we've looked it up, and we know what the average those people are paying for those policies. And when they talk about you can go on vacation, you can do all this, We're not even into that. We're into people that are actually sick and need the policy money.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I guess I didn't realize it was quite as, because you're up against a lot of stuff. You know, you're not only, you know, screening policies because, you know, you get some policies that you don't even bid on because they don't even kind of qualify for what you're targeting. and then you'll get, you know, things inside policies where they'll say, you know, it's this, and then you start reading, it's like, ooh, no, that doesn't indicate this. They'll be out playing golf or traveling or whatever, and it's like, no, this is not good. And now you got this on top of it. My gosh, you're up, but you really deal with a lot of, nonsense when you're trying to screen these things and filter them and bid on them and all that. I didn't realize it was quite so, you know, you add the broker thing on top of everything else, and it's a lot. It's a lot.
And then, you know, when you get a policy, you've got to get all the medical, you've got to read all the medical, you've got to see if it's worth doing,
yeah.
You know? And sometimes they just send you junk and thinking maybe you'll overlook it and take it. You know, we don't want something long-term of 10 years, 7 years. You know, we're trying to stay with that 30-month deal, anywhere from 30, sometimes we'll go 34 months, but we don't want anything long term. We want it short because most of this money is IRA retirement money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's really the whole goal. It's to do something. It's a conservative investment that has fairly short turnarounds and good profit margins, and is conservative. It's not like, you know, doing something like stock market or crypto or something that, you know, people don't know, they don't understand, they don't, I mean, the idea, there's plenty of other people and companies that will buy these policies that won't mature for 40 and 50 and 60 years. There's plenty of those.
That's right.
That's not what you're doing, though.
And then these people that are buying gold, I've been reading about that this week,
ooh,
what the fees are. People don't realize when you buy that gold that there's a lot of fees involved. I didn't know it either.
Really?
Because I don't keep up with gold. But I was reading about it this week, and they said, you know, sometimes the fees, they'll mark it up, you know, 100% on fees. And sometimes it's 5%, 10%. But then they said you've got these other people that charge a huge amount, and the people, poor people don't even know it, you know. And when they get ready to sell it, that brings the profit way back down because you got to pay them all these fees to sell it for you.
Wow. So it looks attractive on the outside, but then once you get in it...
Sometimes it's not, yeah.
Wow.
So I didn't know they charge all those fees. I thought it was a small amount because it was gold, but that's not true. They have huge fees involved sometimes.
Wow. So that'll eat your profit in a hurry.
It takes your profit right back down the tube.
Wow. I did not know that.
I didn't know it either. I was just reading up on it, and it said that the fees can run 5, 10, or sometimes they charge 100% markup.
Jeez. 100% markup. That's insane.
Can you imagine?
No, I cannot. I didn't realize it was quite so so high. Wow.
I didn't either.
I'm shocked.
And, the ones that buy those coins, you have to have someone sell them for you. You can't just go do it yourself, so you've got to pay those people.
Mm. You know, I see those commercials. I guess they're commercials for shows on TV where, you know, you got these guys and they're, you know, in these muddy fields and they've got, you know, all this big equipment and they're digging up the ground and they're, you know, looking for gold. And it's like, I don't know, there's a couple of shows out there where they look for gold and this reality show and all that. And every time I see it and they pull out a little nugget the size of like a penny and they're like, yeah, there's gold. And I go back to everything that you say and it's like, how much are you going to actually get for that? And now...
Yeah, how much is your profit on this thing going to be? I mean,
yeah.
You know?
My goodness. I mean, I've always... You've never been a big fan of gold to begin with, but now, knowing that these, you know, fees and these selling and all this on top of it, I'm like, oh my gosh. So now I'm thinking...
I wonder if these people that buy gold think to ask them. Now, when I sell this, what are the fees going to be?
Yeah.
So how much is going to come out of my profit for fees?
Yeah. Because a chunk of gold, like a rock sitting on your nightstand, isn't really going to do you anything. You need to turn it into, you know, cash or something that you can actually use. Otherwise, it's just a pretty rock sitting there. So you have to sell it.
Yeah, and I was reading up on this company in California, and it's been a couple of years ago that they did this. They advertised on the radio. All these people said, well, that sounds good. We'll put our IRA on this. This couple gave them $450,000, and it was supposed to go from there to like a main place. A trustee was going to hold all the gold, which that would have been fine. And so these people got ready for their money and wanted to report on it. And they went to the trustee. The trustee said, we never got any of it.
Ooh.
The gold never showed up and the cash never showed up.
No.
So all these people have lost that whole thing.
Wow.
All their IRAs are gone.
Oh, my. Wow.
And I don't know who the guy was that gave the name of the company. I'd never heard of it. But they didn't check it out. There has to be somebody you check with those things to see if they're legitimate.
Yeah.
You know? You don't want to lose your IRA or all your money.
Wow. So he made off with the goods, all of it.
He made off with all the gold. He,
wow.
He cashed all their stuff and just spent it. He just, a $16 million jet, I understand.
Wow.
I mean, you know.
Wow.
I'd be up there wringing his neck.
Yeah.
I'd be standing over him. They wouldn't have to worry about him.
Golly.
I'd be pummeling him so hard. Said, just give it up.
Wow.
Whatever you did, you better give it back.
Otherwise, we'll take it out of your hide.
I would think so. But anyway, I don't know how regulated that is. Must not be really regulated much. If somebody could just go out and start this up and not deliver.
Yeah.
Not buy 1 ounce of gold.
Yeah. And like no, I mean, I'm sure there's accountability, but I mean, by the time you get to that point, it's just like, well, the money's gone. So.
Yeah, they didn't have time to, and they were innocent. You know, they just heard about gold and said, well, we need to have some of that gold.
Wow.
And they sure got in trouble on it.
It's one of those things that I guess, you know, people just, you know, they think, oh, gold, you know, shiny and you know, valuable.
That was it. It was shiny looking. They saw it on television.
Wow. But it's like, yeah, you can kind of understand gold because, you know, gold rush and people always talk about gold and value of gold. And that's wonderful. But, you know, at least you can see it and touch it. You know, people get into things like crypto and it's like you can't even, I don't even know what that even is, and it doesn't make any sense to me, but people go after it.
Well, crypto is mined with electricity. That's all I can tell you. that's all I can tell you, is you have to have this tremendous electricity to make it work.
Jeez.
And I don't know if it ever shows up. I'm not sure about that. I know it's something mysterious.
Yeah.
But now the big banks said they're going to deal in crypto.
Are you?
How do you deal in something that's imaginary? I don't understand it.
Really? What? So you can like?
Yeah,
go to
all the big banks this week said we're going to start dealing in crypto ourselves.
So you can go to the. I don't even know what that means. I'm trying to figure out what you do with that. I mean,
I don't know what you do with it. You got to find it first. I mean, if crypto cannot be seen, how does your account look? I mean,
yeah, you can't. Okay, so crypto by itself, it's mysterious, like you say, and it's weird, and you don't even know what it is. But then you bring in banks because the banks are supposed to be legit, and now it's almost like a stamp of approval on this weird thing.
Oh, they say now that they believe in it.
Really?
To start with, they did not say it was very, very bad, but now they're going to get involved in crypto. It said.
I'm speechless.
And so I don't know where that'll lead, folks.
Wow.
But it would not lead me to water, let me tell you that.
Boy, I'd be super cautious about that. That makes me nervous. Oh.
Well, that's what the bank said this week. They're going to get involved in crypto.
Wow. Okay. So there's another aspect of weird things that people like to go after. But you know, it's like the good thing with whether it's annuities or life settlements, we're not dealing with anything that's weird. We're not dealing with anything you can't see and touch. We're not dealing with anything that is dependent on anything else other than itself. So if there's a...
That's right. Okay. And we only deal with life insurance companies. Let's make that clear.
Yeah.
We deal with life insurance companies. We know they're legitimate. We know they'll pay off. They don't make loans, thank goodness. So, you know, we know that it's a solid deal. When we go out here and we do a life settlement, we know we'll get paid. We know that when that thing matures, that life insurance company is going to pay off on a life insurance. You know, life insurance companies go back to, you know, the beginning of time. George Washington today, everybody knows what a life insurance policy is. They know it will pay off. They know they have to keep up reserves. They have to be able to pay immediately. And other investments nowadays have gotten a little scary because they're so sophisticated, most of us would not understand them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're just doing the old tried and true life insurance policies. We're buying them from sick people that need the cash. And, you know, there's every kind of cancer now in the world. There's ones now we've never even heard of in the past that are actually killing people off.
Really?
And so, and even with our research, everything else, it's not preventing people from dying. You know, we've not come that far. So when we invest, we're investing in life insurance policies on sick people. They will pay off. They have paid off. We've paid over $200 million back to clients. We've got about $100 million in investments right now.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, $100 million. And for a small company, that's pretty good.
Well, didn't we determine that you're not small anymore? You're like medium?
I know. Everybody keeps telling me that. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, I would rather be in this type of investment, slow and sure, than all the cryptos, all the gold deals in the world. You know, we're not looking for something fancy and shiny.
Yeah.
We're just looking for tried and true interest. Yeah. We did a lot of annuities this week. Some of my annuity clients called, said, you know, we need to put some money in annuities. We've done that. And we know that the insurance company will pay us interest on it. We know they'll get bonuses on it. And that's just the tried and true method. You know, nothing fancy, but it works.
Yeah.
It's been working for a lot of years.
Yeah.
So, you know, the people that are looking for something shiny and get rich quick, they need to come down to earth and just do it the regular old way.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like people these days, they seem to want everything like right now. They don't, there's no ramp up period. Everything has to be like instant these days. And so, you know, it's just like when you have these, you know, shiny, flashy things that look exciting and fun, it's like, you know, there's an awful lot of risk in it. You know, people don't even understand crypto. Gold is like one of these passing things. Sometimes it has a little more worth. Sometimes it has a lot less worth. And you have the whole, you know, all the fees that you were talking about on top of it. It's like when a life settlement pays out, they pay out in like actual money, not crypto, not gold, not weird things.
That's right.
It's actual money. So.
And an old guy from Dallas went out to West Texas. He told all these people that this oil company in South Texas was getting ready to sell all this gas and oil. And he said, I need $21 million. This one guy gave him $21
million. No.
The other two gave him $2 million and $1 million. There was no gas auction.
Oh.
There was no oil auction.
Oh.
I mean, you know, when people tell you these deals are going to make you $1 trillion in the oil business, you know, you need to check them out.
Yeah.
You know, how long have they been in the oil business in West Texas? Who do they know? And they don't even check it out. They gave him the money.
Wow. That's scary. That's sad, but scary.
There was no oil and gas auction, by the way.
Oh, that's painful to hear.
Mm. It was painful for me to hear about the guy and how many million he took from West Texas. And then one guy came in from New Mexico and gave him the other millions he wanted.
Oh, geez.
And none of it had happened.
Wow. And is it gone, or are they able to get any of it back? Or?
No, I don't know what they'll get because there was no gas available for sale. There was no contracts to sell it.
Oh, wow.
You know, you have to have contracts.
Ooh, they handed over that much money?
People did not check it out.
Wow.
You know?
Man.
You know, we've been in business 23 years.
Yeah.
And we're still doing it the same old way.
Yeah. And there's never been a single time, because there's been a lot of ups and downs, you know, the market and all these other, you know, things kind of, they're all fluctuating. They're all very, fluid as far as, you know, payouts and returns and the value of the investment. The thing with life settlements and annuities, really, is that they both kept their value no matter what the market conditions were. There's no seasonal thing like...
That's right. And there hasn't been a downturn. Like there is in everything else. Life insurance policies are just solid. That's all there is to it. When we invest in a life insurance policy, they're not going to ask us for a discount. They're not going to say, well, we can't pay tomorrow. They have the money. It's in reserve, so it's solid all the time. You're going to get your money. We always get paid. They always pay us. So, you know, that's not a problem. So everybody in town should be investing in life settlements and annuities. And when you get older, the annuities are going to be really appealing because they're tax deferred. You know, how many investments can you make that are tax deferred that you don't pay the taxes until you take it out? I don't know of anything that's tax deferred like this.
Me either.
So on an annuity, it's tax deferred. Your interest is growing. It's compound interest. It's with a 100-year-old company, and you're getting bonuses. You're getting, this year we're getting 13% bonus, plus whatever you make. So then next year, if you put more money in, you get that bonus again, 13% for the next 3 years.
Wow.
So, you know, it's as solid as it can be. It'll beat the gold. It'll beat all this other, I think, all the way, because it's steady, steady pay.
Yeah.
You always know where you stand. You'll know that you always get your money. How many investments are like that? If you're in the stock market, you don't know when you'll get your money, how much you'll get, what you're going to. There's so many unknowns, and this takes all the guesswork out.
Yeah.
I love taking the guesswork out.
Yeah.
Where it's a steady investment.
Well, you know, in annuities, they mirror the stock market, so you get the excitement of the uptrends. But with an annuity, you have a safety net. So if the stock market goes down, your annuity doesn't. It holds steady, right?
That's exactly what makes it great. Is when the market's going up, our annuities are going straight up. If the market crashes, it holds steady. You might not make anything, but it won't lose you any money. How many people can say, I've got a conservative investment. When everything's going good, I make money. If things go bad, I don't lose any money ever.
But now let me ask you this, though. If say, the stock market crashes and you're in an annuity and you don't, quote, make anything, you still have the bonuses, right?
That's right. You've got all your bonus money. You know, whatever it's made, it's locked in. It locks in your interest every year, once a year. Or if you're doing a two-year strategy, it locks it in every 2 years.
Yeah. So even if you're not, quote, making money, you're still making money.
You are making money in the long run, yes. And it's averaged about 10%. And it's got a lot of new indexes that are going to improve, that's going to make it a little more money every year.
Wow.
And then you've got those bonuses, which we haven't had in a long time. And a 13% bonus is nothing to sneeze at.
Mm-mm. Not at all. I mean, that's just mailbox money. I mean, you don't even have to do anything.
It is mailbox money, and you can't outlive an annuity. If you're taking a payout on an annuity, even if the money runs out, they will keep paying you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an amazing deal.
Wow.
And one of my clients brought another $54,000 this week and putting in his annuity.
Really?
He's made enough money that he wants to put more in.
Wow. That's a big deal.
It was a big deal.
You know, and what did you say? Like, people like 60s, 70s are usually the ones that are most drawn towards annuities?
That's right. Yes, we've started most of the people in the 60s, and now that they're set. We're taking out more annuities because of the bonuses. They have older annuities that don't have bonuses on them. So now we're doing new annuities because of that 13%.
Wow. That is fantastic.
And anybody that doesn't do a bonus annuity, something's wrong with their head. We need to have their head examined. We're going to examine you and make sure you're still alive. Might not be.
I mean, this is just a win-win, you know, no matter how you look at it. And I would think that, you know, not only as people are going through their, their life and their stages of life and get closer to retirement, I would think that, you know, just people in general would see kind of like maybe, I don't know, the writing on the wall might be a little bit, you know, too extreme, but, you know, with all the volatility that can hit us at any time, you know, you would think that a lot of people would start making the migration towards something a little bit more conservative that you know is going to be there when you wake up in the morning without
That's
warning.
Right. And remember, this is an election year.
Oh, yeah.
So during an election year, I would want to make sure I knew where I stood financially.
Yeah.
I would want to make sure in case the bottom drops out. I mean, anything can happen. Anything can go wrong.
Yeah.
And if you're a conservative American, you should take action. If you're not conservative, just let it fly with the wind and say, oh, well, if my money goes, it's fine.
Yeah.
If you can say that, you've got enough, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can just let it go and, you know, do something else.
Yeah.
You start over. And if you made it once, maybe you can make it again.
Yeah. I mean, and I know that sounds kind of like extreme, but I mean, seriously, we saw it happen, you know, in 2008. We saw what even happened a couple of weeks ago when we woke up Monday morning and what it was, the market was down 1,000 points just out of nowhere.
It was.
I mean, it can.
And, you know, Warren Buffett has been selling stock like crazy.
Ooh. What does that mean?
And he has got a tremendous amount of cash on hand right now.
Oh.
He's been selling all this Bank of America stock. And somebody asked me that question yesterday. Do you think that Warren Buffett is so smart, he's getting out of most of his stocks and getting to cash?
Oh.
And I don't know. But it was kind of suspicious that he sold a tremendous amount of Bank of America.
Really?
Yes, he did.
Well, you know that because we talk about banks to begin with. We talk about this new edition of crypto, and then we talk about election years. I wonder if he is a little bit nervous and he's trying to like maybe offload something before, whether even if he doesn't even know anything, like even if he has no insider information, but just, you know, knowing the situation that we're in and what may be lying up ahead in the next couple of months. I wonder if that's an indicator. You think people will start maybe following suit? Or should they follow
suit? I don't know.
Suit?
I mean, it depends how they feel about it. And a lot of times, seems like the little investors, the ones that lose first, because they don't know to get out. They're just kind of at the mercy. You know, they're just there. They've got these accounts. They don't know how to handle them. They don't know what to do. And I know some people that have lost quite a bit of money lately. And yet they put $50,000 in mutual funds.
Oh, wow. Huh.
And that is the scariest thing I've ever heard of. If you're a rancher, and you know ranching, you know cattle, you know feed costs, you know all this, and then you go, I think I'll just go over here and put $54,000 in mutual funds. You don't even know what a mutual fund is.
Wow.
I didn't see that. You don't know how it works. And yet you would do that.
Yeah, that went opposite of where I thought you were going to go with that. You know, it's like I really expect you to say, oh, I know some people have lost quite a bit of money lately, and so they've decided, hey, let's stop the bleeding. Let's get into something conservative. Nope.
Wow. This guy already lost a lot.
Wow. All
right. And his head's not on right.
Wow.
It's screwed around backwards.
So there it is. There's the writing on the wall.
Yeah, somebody said, well, why don't you put this in some mutual funds?
Oh, my gosh.
The chances of that are not real good. You know, when you don't understand it, you don't know it, it's hard to make an informed decision.
Yeah, it is. And you just... it's one of those things where if you can look at the investment and say, you know, gosh, I'm not quite sure how this is going to turn out, it might be a little too risky.
I don't know. You know, all these different stocks, instead of saying, well, I'm going to take the risk, I'll just put it in an oil stock. That wouldn't have been as bad.
Yeah.
You know? But say, oh, some mutual funds, that's just what I need with those fees.
Wow. Said almost no one. So if you're looking for something where you have a really good idea how this is going to turn out, you know, especially with a live settlement, you know, you have a general idea based on the LE, when the policy is going to mature, you know how much you're going to get, you know that nothing in the market is going to affect it at all. If the market falls out, you know, next week, your life settlement holds steady. And the same thing with annuities. You've got the safety net there. So, you know, either one is a great alternative, and you're pretty much going to know how things are going to turn out much more than any other opportunity. So it might be, I don't want to say a warning, but maybe this is the time for some people, and it sounds like some of them are, time to maybe rethink before something terrible happens, maybe move to something.
That's right. So, we have several people have said, you know, I think I want to just liquidate my stock account and just put it over with you, Faye. And so we're doing that also. We're liquidating a few accounts and just bringing it over to get it out of the market, to get it to safety, because their wives are going to kill them if they lose anything. You know, the wives have been through 2008. They've been through some of the crazy investments these people have done.
Yeah.
So they're not quite ready to go back down that rabbit hole and lose a bunch of money again.
Yeah.
And it's unnecessary.
It is.
You know, it's just not necessary.
You know, and a lot of times it's much better to try to be proactive than it is to be reactive, because it can take, you know, recovery time from if something terrible was to happen. It takes a while to recover from that sometimes. So, like you
say, it does take time for recovery. And I don't know, especially as I always say, the economy in some places is doing good. In some places, it's not. Real estate right now is just precarious, you know.
Oh.
I mean, it's being wiped out, millions and millions of dollars, you know, in equity is being wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking office buildings and turning them into condos.
Yeah, it's like it's a desperate
move. I mean,
that's
the craziest thing I ever heard of.
Yeah, they have no other option at this point. Otherwise, they're stuck with property inventory and nothing to do with it. So
that's right. So, you know, I am a conservative person. Our investors are conservative. You know, they're not doing anything dangerous. They're not doing crazy things. That's the type of investors we have that don't want to take any risk. They don't want to take their money and throw it in the wind.
Yeah.
And that's basically what you're doing on some of these investments. You might as well just throw it up in the wind and see how it comes down.
Yeah. And in some case, you're just setting cash on fire. And it's not the case with either life settlements or annuities.
No.
So.
And a person can invest in both or one. And then, of course, with life settlements, you've got to qualify. The government has qualifications. It's not for the small investor. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house.
Yep.
So you have to be qualified in order to do this.
Yeah.
Minimum investment's $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's for people that have money in the bank already. Okay. It's not money you wish you could make, but you need to either have a 401, an IRA, or just cash sitting there.
Yeah. It's not like going to Vegas and walking in with $50 and trying to walk out with like $20 million.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of really smart people never go to Vegas.
No.
Except to see the shows.
Yeah.
And then they come home. You know, the old story was the guy went out there in a Cadillac and he came home on a Greyhound bus. And, you know, that's what happens out in Vegas.
Yeah, it really is. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is American Financial Midland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about the University of Texas at Austin.
Cool.
Do you know how all this started?
No.
The university opened in 1883.
Oh, really?
This was after Texas gained its independence. It's before we became a state, even. And the story is very interesting. They got together, and they said, we need to establish a university. And that was in April 18th, 1838. They said, we'll establish a university. Well, they talked about it. They set aside some land. They set aside 288,000 acres.
Wow.
And they said, it will be a publicly funded university. Well, along came, of course, the Civil War. And then Texas was annexed into the United States in February 11th, 1858. They passed this bill establishing, again, the University of Texas. And they said, we'll put up $100,000 in U.S. bonds. Well, they did that, but they didn't pay them off. And then later, they came along and they said, we need to establish the Permanent University Fund, a sovereign wealth fund, and it'll be managed by the Board of Regents of the university. And then Texas secession from the Union and the American Civil War, they didn't get that money paid. So they kept going along and talking about it. They just seemed like they were talking about it. And then in 1881, they chose Austin as the site of the main university. And then Galveston was designated. It would be the medical department for it. And then they said, that, well, we're going to build this building. And, of course, they wanted the Department of Engineering, all these different things. And in 1910, George Washington Breckinridge, he donated 500 acres. And that was right there on the Colorado River for the university.
Wow.
And they said, well, we're going to move the university. Well, that was an outrage. And it kept coming along, and they'd say, well, we'll put up another million acres. And before it was over 2 million acres is in the college fund for the University of Texas.
Wow. Oh,
now,
word.
They hit all. The Santa Rita came in, and that is what made the University of Texas. When that well came in and gushed in, they started having money on top of money to do things with, to build more buildings. It started out with one little building and 122 students is the way it started. Now it is a world-class university. It's known all over the world. And the money just keeps pouring in from the wells. I didn't realize they have over 2 million acres of land in the university system.
I didn't
Can
know.
You imagine?
Wow.
What do you think their endowments are?
I don't know.
$40 billion.
Oh, wow. Really?
That's how come to notice this week. I saw that, and I go, $40 billion for the University of Texas?
Wow.
Yes.
Oh.
They're the one best-funded universities in the world.
Oh, my word. I was going to guess big, but not that big. Wow.
Yes, $40 billion, because they've got all that oil money that came in. I mean, how many universities have their own oil wells, you know?
talk about luck. I don't. Maybe it's not luck. I don't know, but man.
Yes, and the guys that started this, you know, it was three times before they ever got it started, and each time they just put up more land. They'd say, well, you know, we need 100,000 acres, and they put up railroad money that was going to run through all this. And thank goodness that was defunded and went back into the university, the money they were going to use for railroads.
Oh, wow. Oh, my.
And it's just amazing all the people that have been president of this university and what they've accomplished and how many different things you can get a degree in at the University of Texas. Hmm. There's over 100 things that you can get a degree in.
Is it really?
Can you imagine? Yes. There is right now 51,000 students.
Wow.
For our university. There is 482,000 alumni.
Wow.
that they have 19 colleges in there, and it's just an amazing deal. There's 56% are girls that go there. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
The boys are only 46%.
Huh.
And then several years ago, they said, we have all these different schools, but we don't have a medical where you can get a degree, a doctor's degree. Michael Dell and Susan Dell gave $50 million to start the new medical school.
Awesome.
Can you imagine that?
My gosh.
So this is the most funded place in America. People have given so much, and the alumni it reads like who's who in America.
I bet. Never seen the list, but boy, I tell you, I didn't realize that it was, I don't know what the right word is, thriving? No, that's not the right word. How much funding or self-funding?
Oh, yeah, they've got more funding than in most countries.
Yeah.
You know?
This is like...
I mean, and then, of course, Daryl Royal was the winningest football coach in the world. You know, was at the university all those years, and that made individuals give endowments. So the private endowments, the endowments for the oil, it's just tremendous, the money this university's got for studies, for, you know, all these things. And the famous Bible is there at the university. There's so many things. The Guggenheim or Bible is at the University of Texas.
Really?
Oh, yes. That's where it's at.
Wow.
And they have one of the most extensive museums in the world.
Wow. Just right there I'm just shocked. You know, this is like to go from, what was it, in 1838?
Early 1800s, before we were a state.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't even a state when these guys thought the idea up. They said, we want a first-class university. That was their whole thought. They didn't want some little cheap deal. Hmm. And, you know, so from 1881, you know, it started the wheels rolling, and then they put up all that land. If they hadn't put it up then, they would have never been able to do it.
Yeah.
Land would have got so high, they couldn't have done it.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's just like when you have that much land, especially in Texas, it's like your odds of finding oil go up dramatically, and they did. And it's just like, wow.
That's what made them, all that oil money.
Yes.
And then they're ranked in the world, really high. I think it's like 8 in the universities of the world.
Wow.
Their ratings are that high.
I believe it.
And they have top-notch professors there. I mean, they're the best. And you can get a degree in anything in the world at the University of Texas.
Yeah. What did you say? Like 100 different programs? Degrees?
And then you've got, you know, the other university in Galveston, the Marine and Biological University there. They've got so many programs, you could be anything that you wanted to be.
Gosh.
I mean, the studies are just out of this world, the things that that you could study at the university. But I was reading along this week and saw that where they had $40 billion, and I go, let me study this a little bit. Let me look this up. I'd never heard of such in all my life.
I know it. And I bet your eyes popped out of your head.
They did. I go, $40 billion? And then I remembered the Santa Rita, and when that came in, you know, it changed them forever.
Yeah. Wow. One building, 122 students, and now they're up to, what, almost half a million, I think, like 451,000, something like that?
And, of course, you know, Sam Rayburn went there, James Baker, who was Secretary of State, Kay Bailey Hutchison. It's just amazing. And I'll tell you another secret. Two actors, Robert Duvall went to the University of Texas.
Did he really?
And Eli Wallach.
Really? Oh, wow.
They came to Texas. They were not Texans, But they came to Texas and went to the University of Texas.
Wow, I didn't know that. How cool.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
And, yeah. And McConaughey, you know, he graduated from University of Texas.
Yeah.
Most of our governors, like Clement, all these governors, most of them graduated from University of Texas.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. The list of alumni is impressive.
Oh, it's staggering. It's top of the top.
Wow.
And, you know, we talked several months ago about the sports programs and how many millions of dollars is invested in that. And I guess if you, the University of Texas, you could invest in anything in the world.
Yeah. I didn't realize they had so many programs either. It's just, I'm shocked. They probably have degrees and things that I never even knew existed.
And, you know, Michael Dell didn't even finish college, as you know. He started Dell Computers in his garage, and yet, you know, with all of his wealth, and he believes in Texas, and then they gave $50 million to start the medical school.
Man, this is a badge of honor. This is something that we should be proud of it.
Mm. That's what I was thinking. We should really be proud of our universities, and especially University of Texas. And it is ranked in the world like number 8, I think it is.
That's worldwide.
Of colleges.
That's a big deal.
And they've got the Guttenheimer Bible there, which that's, you know, outstanding. They've got one of the largest museums in the world there. It's got 17,000 volumes in the museum.
Wow.
17,000.
God.
So they've been able to procure things that no one else could because of the endowments and the money they've got available.
Jeez, you know, you put it all into a segment like that, and it's like, man, it just really like drives home that we do things bigger and better.
And bigger and better in Texas. Nobody can do the things they've done.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Okay, before we wrap up real quick, I know you already went over accreditation for life settlements, but there are two risks that people need to know about ahead of time. What's the biggest?
The biggest risk is it could go over. If you've got a policy and we think it's going to come in 24 months, and it doesn't, it comes in 36 months or whatever, you would have to pay premiums till it matured. So you always need to know that there could be premiums due. Some policies have no premiums, so that's a good thing. But you do need to know about that. The other risk is, remember, it's not liquid till it matures. It's not liquid till they die.
Okay. Anything that we need to know risk-wise or accreditation-wise for annuities, or is it just kind of...
Well, you can't put every dime you've got into an annuity. If you've got limited resources, you've got to still have money in the bank. You've got to have money to pay your bills. But most of our customers, we don't even have to think about that. We don't even have to worry about it because they all have a lot of assets, and they still have a lot of assets after we put them in annuities. So most of ours don't have that problem. Only a few people would have that problem.
Okay, so Monday, Labor Day, I assume you're closed.
We will be closed. It'll be Labor Day at my house.
The big celebration. Everybody go over to Faye's. No, I'm kidding.
That's right. Everybody go over to Faye's. We will be closed on Monday.
All right, but back to regular hours on Tuesday and then the rest of the week, I assume. So.
Right, we hope that we'll have policies for people next week. We know we'll have money in the bank. From Mandelbaum. So good things are happening, just not happening as fast as I'd like.
Well, good things sometimes are worth waiting for. So
that's right.
All right. One last time, Faye, for people to call, make an appointment, come see you, come talk to you. What is your phone number?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.